Know that you're ready for this lesson today. How do I know? Because I watched you worship. And you said, I crave my God with all my soul, with all my heart, and He alone is what we're seeking. And that's what this message is about, kingdom goals. We want it all, don't we?
Yes.
We're not here playing church. We're not here trying to meet the elite. We are here to go all the way with God. Amen? And we are here, as Kingdom Goal describes, deep calling to deep. As you look at this picture that I have on the PowerPoint, it's a picture that Robert Bartow has painted, and he titles it Treasures of Deep. The bottom sphere is royal blue, which represents this earth that you and I have been assigned to take back for the kingdom of God. And the gold up there and arising from it is us stretching to Him, letting Him call deep at who He is, the deep, to our deep, that His kingdom goal be released. And the little treasure box on the bottom left-hand, right-hand corner is the treasures that He has for you to dig out, that He's planted in you and in the relationships that He has around you. Are you ready to dig? He says that's why He saved you. Not just to get you to heaven, and that's a good thing, but for His kingdom to come on earth now as it is in heaven. And that means a deep calling to deep. This scripture on the overhead, Genesis 2:7 said, then the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. As I said some time ago, don't know if it was last month or month before, it's like He kissed you into being. He breathed His life into your nostrils and kissed you into being and said, oh, you're so beautiful. And we now are in the process of learning to turn to Him and say, so are you beautiful, my Father. So are you beautiful, my bridegroom. So are you beautiful, Holy Spirit, that's making all this a reality in me. So I'm telling you that when He breathed His breath into you, He implanted His DNA in you, which is pure gold. His pure essence, who He is, He planted that in you so that what your assignment is, and it may look a little different than you thought it would, your assignment of discovering who you really are and enjoying being yourself, your assignment of embracing those around you, your assignment of walking a path that gets turned sometime and you think, what's happening? It doesn't look like I thought it's going to happen. He has planted His DNA in you, and He says, deep will call to deep, and we can do this. And as we do this, your heart's desire is going to be met. Do you know what your heart's desire is? It's Matthew 25:21. To hear your God now and at the end of your earthly journey say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that what drives us all? Isn't that what we were worshiping and singing about today? I want to hear from my Father, from my bridegroom, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And it can be done. It will be done. Because His image is implanted in you. You have His DNA. And as you keep your eyes focused on Him, you will finish well.
Hallelujah.
And you will suffer well. Because He is God and He knows what He's doing. Well, how do we do that? We do that as we allow 2 Corinthians 5:17 to be in the process of being developed and arising. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creature altogether, a new creation. When you said yes to Jesus, the person he designed you to be before you got doused into the miry clay and damaged and distorted, the person he designed you to be then come alive. The person he ordained before the foundation of the world to come and live out the inheritance that he's called you to be, that person was born again. Now, it's the process of learning to let this person rule and reign and be in charge, get to know that person, and get to like that person. That's who he has called us to be. And he says, that becomes a reality as you walk in my presence. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. What does that mean and what does that look like on Monday morning, 24/7? When you wake up in the morning, good morning, Lord. You haven't been asleep all night. You are excited about our day together. I say, have your way in my life today. No matter whether it looks like what I thought it was going to look like or not, you rule and reign in my life, and then the kingdom goal will be being released every place I walk. And then when the day's done, say, Lord, you know, it looked better than I thought it was going to do today. Or it didn't look as good as I thought it was. There were some turns that I didn't expect. Somebody pushed my button that I didn't expect to push. But Lord, I thank you that you are such a God that I now relax back in your arms and ask you to hold me as I sleep and restore, realign my spirit, soul, and body, that I am resynchronized and I can wake up in the morning with an excited, what's next, Papa? That's just walking in his presence, learning to let him be the audience of one in control of our life as we walk along. Because, as Gary just said, there's going to be obstacles. Things are going to happen. People don't act like you expect them to act. They don't act like they were supposed to act. Things come about that you hadn't anticipated. Circumstances arrive. But we recalculate. When those blocks come up, you remember last month we talked about moving the mountain. We move the mountain by embracing those, not by suppressing, denying, and concealing and saying it's somebody else's fault. We say, no, my God is able and I'm trusting you. So I'm looking straight through this and say, Jesus, what do you want to do here? You have all authority in heaven and earth, and I give you that authority in me now. And as we do, we can see him moving in and through us. We put whatever it is, whether it's a thing, a person, or a circumstance, in his hand. And we say, Isaiah 41:10, the first part of that I do not have on that, says, fear not. Do you know 80% of the things that pull us out of God's presence is fear? Fear that I lose control. Fear that I didn't hear God right. Fear that I've messed up so bad it can't be straightened out. Fear that he won't be what I need. And so when we feel that fear rising up, we say, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm your God. I will help you. I will hold you. with my righteous right hand. And so that's what you do. When you feel the fear, you say, fear not. You are my God. I will not be dismayed. You will hold me. And you will help me. And you will hold me in your righteous right hand. And you will strengthen me.
Yeah.
He says, you bet I will. Now, what you're feeling right now may not be strength, but when you've agreed with Him, your eyes are on Him, strength's flowing whether you feel it or not. He never ever says, feel it. He says, believe me, embrace it. Walk as if you felt it. And as you do that, you can know it will happen. Why? Because Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. He's given you everything you need to walk in His presence all day long and let His kingdom goal be released in your life and all around you. When He said it's finished, He doesn't lie, it's finished. He gave it to you. And the veil, as the right-hand picture shows, was rent at that time. And the Holy Spirit was released from the Ark of the Covenant to live in you, His temple. Isn't that exciting? Exciting. The Holy Spirit is living in you, His temple, to make real everything Jesus provided for you and has called you to do on planet Earth.
Yes, yes.
Even with that child that pushes your button. Even with that mate that pushes your button. Even with that neighbor that pushes your button. Even with whoever. He says, I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. If you will pull into me and fear not, be vulnerable in my hands, be transparent, let me work, and I will do it. And expect. God could have zapped us when He saved us and made us like Him, but He says, I have a process and a journey. That as you will allow me to use the people that are around you, family of origin, extended family, immediate family, employers, employees, with whomever you have to do, let them be my refining process, the hammer in my hand that chips off the miry clay that has gotten on us. You know, He says that He established us on a rock. That's what happened when we got saved. But there's still some froth and slime and mire and unhealed wounds and unmet needs hanging all over us. And He says, I want to use the people around you to chip those off. That's what Proverbs 27:17 says. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. So if you fall on your knees and say, God, come quickly, which we quoted this morning, He said, I'm coming. I'm there. I'm there with that mate, with that child, with that neighbor, with that employer to meet you. And you let my hand work to chip off that which so makes you ashamed about yourself. Because as you yield in my righteous right hand, I got you. I will hold you in my righteous right hand, and as I'm holding you there, I'll take care of your enemies. You just yield to me. I will strengthen you. You just yield to me. And so it's important that we at times ask ourselves the question when we are about to fear. When we're about to yield to fear, or, yes, anger, rage, depression, whatever it is, whatever variation, despair, discouragement. God's got a perfect plan for me, and Jesus has provided the solution that I need for it. Ask yourself the question, what is it in me or you that would make you respond that way? So then we immediately turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, what is it? What is it that's driving me that I don't realize? What is it that made me say to somebody, you made me mad? Did they make you mad? No. They just brought out your mad. Mark 7:15 says, there's nothing on the outside of you that brings out what's in you. It's the outside brings out what's already in you. There's nothing from the outside that contaminates you. It's what's in you. The unmet needs, the unhealed hurts, the unresolved issues. So Jesus, the fact that you have brought made me aware of my anger, my frustration, my fear, will you show me how you want to deal with this now? Maybe even back to the root where it started. Because he never exposes anything except what he wants to heal. He's waiting for you to invite him into that place to say, Jesus, heal it. You're not locked in time and space. This comes back to me. It means you want to heal it. So I give it to you. I place it in your hands. I place it at the foot of the cross. And I say, you've provided everything I need. Thank you, Jesus. Show me what you want to show me concerning this thing so that I can say the yes and the amen to your healing it. Because you see, there are things about we say, God, I want to know you. Every one of us do. That's the way we know him. That's the way we know him. By saying, what is it about you, God, that I do not know, that if I knew, I wouldn't be struggling with as I am with this kid, this mate, this neighbor, this employer, this, whatever it is. And then he's able to say, there's something in you I need to touch. Will you let me touch it? And you said, but God, I don't know what you're going to do. Where were you when this happened in the first place? And he says, I wasn't invited in that situation in the first place. Will you invite me into it now?
Yes.
And we'll bring healing.
Hallelujah.
His heart is to be with us. He's glad to be with us. He wants to be with us.
Yes.
Even in the bad things that were that happened that were not his will, because he gives only good gifts. But he says, if you will invite me into it now, I will change that bad thing to a good thing. Will you let me? Will you let me? Because he is faithful, reliable, trustworthy, and forever true to his promise, and he can be depended on. Yes, he's unpredictable because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He has divine surprises for you. He just says, let me in. Because then we will dig deep and get those royal treasures that I have assigned for you and you only. And as we do that, we're regularly confronted with two kingdoms that we're going to walk in. The kingdom of light and life in his presence, beholding him, yielding to him, enjoying companionship with him, participating with what he's doing. Or we walk in the kingdom of darkness, the pit of destruction, and we reap unmet needs, unhealed wounds, and our issues don't get resolved. He says, you choose. So, are we going to yield to him, or are we going to go back to the pit and the pig pen that felt comfortable? You know, several weeks ago, DeWitt's a part of a little social church group in our area, and he had the program. And he asked me to come and be his program and share why I had written the books that I've written. And so I did. There was a man that has since then become DeWitt's friend that came, as far as I know, the first time that night. And DeWitt was in the back of the group, and this man was with DeWitt, and he said, "Who's that good-looking woman up there? I hadn't seen her here before." So DeWitt, I don't know what he answered, but I guess he said I was his wife. And so later I spoke, and then later they became friends, and now they've got so that once a week they visit and go out and get a chicken biscuit or something, and it's good for both. This guy became a Christian, and he dropped by a few weeks ago, and it was my day off. Now, if you don't know what my day off means, it means I have on my scrubby clothes, and most of the time, if it's really a day off, I don't do a thing to my hair. And that's not a pretty picture. That's not a pretty picture. And no makeup. So this friend drops by, and we come him in because I learned a long time ago that if me and my house is good enough for me and Jesus, it's good enough for anybody that drops in. So I've tried to walk that way. Well, we came in. He came in, and he came into the kitchen where I was working, and as he comes in, he keeps kind of looking at me and said, "You don't look like you did the last time I saw you." Now I've got a choice to make. Am I going to continue to walk in the presence of God and not take this personally and not be offended? And because I could have said, "Well, who asked you to drop in today anyway?"
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't, or I could have said, "Well, you know, I've seen you looking a little better too."
Yeah, yeah.
But I chose to stay in the kingdom of God's light, and I said, "You are exactly right. You are seeing raw Doreen right now.
Hallelujah.
This is the real me." And inside I can say, Jesus loves this real me just as much as he loves me today with my hair done and my makeup on. So afterwards I thought, hey, I passed that test. I didn't take it personally. We continued to flow, and I agreed with him. I didn't look the way he saw me the last time. So I could agree with him. But in his benefit, he drops by about a week ago, and we were talking about something about gaining weight, and because he doesn't eat much, and I said, "Well, you eat like a bird," and he said, "Yeah, I do," and I said, "I've got to learn to eat that way," and he said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because I'd like to lose at least 10 pounds, maybe 15," and he said, "Look pretty good to me." So he redeemed himself that day. He redeemed himself that day. It's all a matter, keep in mind always, no bad thing comes from God's hand. His heart is for you to give you hope and a future. Do bad things happen? Yes. Why? Because we're in a fallen world and people make bad decisions, including us. But can he redeem those? Yes. So I want to share with you a story that touched my heart deeply, because I can't think of anything being much worse than this next slide represents. The picture on the left became a picture that won a Pulitzer Prize for Nick Ut. He was a photographer and a journalist in Vietnam when the Vietnam War was in full swing. And the way they fought the war at some times was by dropping Napalm, which is a gel-like substance that burns everything it comes in contact with. Well, that's just what had happened. They had dropped this gel on this village, and that little girl in the middle hit her full force, and it burned all her clothes off and gave her third-degree burns over much of her body. And she's screaming and crying. And this photographer shot the picture, and then ran to help her. For a long time, nobody knew what the little girl's name was. She was just became known as the girl in the picture. But her name was Fantai Kim Puck. And after it became, she was a nine-year-old girl, and like I say, third-degree burns over her body. She said, the pain from this is more excruciating than you can imagine. Pain from boiling water, water boils at 100 degrees Celsius. This Nepal generates temperatures of 800 to 1200 degrees Celsius. So you can imagine how horrendous that must be. Well, after 17 surgeries to save her life, she just wanted to be a normal kid again. She had a goal of studying to be a doctor, but the Vietnamese government decided to use her as their national symbol of war, and she became a part of their propaganda campaign. They wouldn't allow her to go to school. They isolated her and just used her for their own purposes. She was allowed to go to the library, however, and she was a seeker of truth, just like you are. And in the library, she read insatiably, and she came across the Bible one day. And as she read it, she said she just couldn't stop reading it. And finally, she went to a church one day, and there she understood the gospel. And the love of God changed her life, in her words. She said, I knew that Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins, so I asked God, do you forgive me? She was still struggling with anger and bitterness and sorrow. She described her life as a cup of bitter, dark coffee. She asked the Lord, how can I clean everything in my heart if it's full of coffee? Kim found that the answer was in pouring out that cup each day until it became empty and God spilled His love into her cup. She was allowed to go to Cuba to study. And while she was in Cuba, she met another Vietnamese by the name of Bai Hai Toan. They were married and were allowed to go to Moscow on their honeymoon. And as they were coming back from their honeymoon, when the plane stopped in the Netherlands, they took their chance to refuel. They took their chance, got out, and defected to Ontario, Canada. And so she said, as we have here on the overhead, she was named a Goodwill Ambassador for Peace by UNESCO in 1997. She says, I'm not involved in politics or religion. I just let them know it's about the love of God and the love of people. Isn't that our love God, love people? That is the most powerful any weapon. That is more powerful than any weapon of war, she says. Now, to show you in an extreme case, which this is, these are the lessons that she learned through her excruciating pain. She says, had it not been for war, I would not value peace. Had it not been for pain, I would not know the healing power of love. Had it not been for hatred, I would never have learned to forgive. Had it not been for imprisonment, I would not value freedom. Had it not been for living in want, I would not value everything I have. Had it not been for fear, I would not value peace. In 1996, she spoke at the Veterans Day ceremonies in Washington, D.C., expressing her forgiveness to the soldiers that did this to her. While there, she met one of the pilots that had bombed her village. After assuring him of her forgiveness, he told her, "This is the happiest day of my life." So God's on the move. He wants to take all your pain and allow you to suffer well as you look into him and let him turn it into gold. Because that's what he's in the gold business. Let's take a biblical example and quickly look through it. Biblical example that I'm talking about is David. David was just in the field minding his own business, taking care of his father's sheep, falling in love with Jesus and doing the undoable, as in killing the lion and the bear to protect his sheep. He was getting to know his God. And Daddy said, "Go to the fields where the Israelites are fighting the Philistines and take your brothers some bread." He obeyed. He did. He arrived at the field. And his oldest brother, who should have been building him up, should have protected him, should have legitimized and validated him, criticized him. "What are you doing here?" Doesn't it hurt the worst when it comes from family? Family that's supposed to protect you, family that's supposed to validate you, it hurts the worst when it comes from them. "Who are you anyway? What do you think you're doing here?" David knew his God, and like him, he spoke with his eyes on God as his only audience. He said, "What are you all doing allowing this uncircumcised Philistine to curse our God? We serve the living God. Why are you putting up with this mess?" Well, they didn't repent. And they didn't say, "Brother, you've got the goods and we don't." But Saul said, "Well, you can go do it. Put on my armor." We can't wear anybody else's experiences with God, can we?
No.
Has to be our own. He tried it on out of respect, but this is not comfortable. I have to be who I am, the person God created me to be. The real me, the true me. So he said, "I'll take my slingshot and my stones. That's what I'm familiar with." And everybody mocked him and said, "You know, you're just ridiculous." But as we see the picture here, Goliath looks like he's lots bigger. This looks ridiculous from the human standpoint. But we're not living from the human standpoint, are we? We're living from the kingdom of God standpoint, what our God says. So he takes the slingshot. He throws his stone, and you know the story. It hit him in the temple, the only place he didn't have a shield, and down he went. And then David takes the Goliath's own sword and cuts his head off. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and the enemy will cut his own head off. You can use the lies he says to cut his own head off with. And so, as Romans 8:37 says, "Yet amidst all these things, we're more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us." Why are we more than conquerors? Because we don't have to conquer. We rest in his conquering. He conquered, we rest in him, and it flows through us. That's the reason we're more than conquerors. What a mighty God we serve. One more tragedy situation. A little over 2 years ago in Haiti, January, they had an earthquake that was a 7.0, and you remember the news reports of the devastation. The picture on the top right shows a picture of some of the horrible devastation that earthquake did. Turned an area upside down that was already in poverty. But the bottom left shows that from those quakes that wreaked much devastation, they discovered gold mines in the mountains.
Wow.
And today they're saying, how can this be used for the glory of God? So there was destruction, there was devastation, there's no debating that, but it exposed gold that was in their mountains that they didn't realize. Now it's a matter, will they be good stewards of what's been exposed and walk in the kingdom of God and not continue in corrupt ways? If so, the news reports say that Haiti is a land flowing, could be flowing, with gold and oil and other minerals if it's properly stewarded. Yes. But we have our part. He's exposing the gold. As you see in the far bottom, gold mines take a lot of work. A lot of scaffolding, a lot of machinery, a lot of hard work to go into those mountains and redeem the gold. It's hard work. But he says, I'll strengthen you. I will help you if you'll let me be your God and let me reign in you and you learn to suffer well in my righteous right hand. You say, okay, all that sounds really good, but you just don't know this person that pushes my buttons, that is regularly releasing my irritation, my anger, my rage, my frustration. What do we do about that? We go mining for gold. It, again, is a lot of work. We take our pan and we get down in the water. We see what comes up. And there will be debris comes up. We give that debris to God. He says, I'll clean it out if you'll let me. If you will admit it, lay it at the foot of the cross and apply my blood, I'll clean it. And it'll come forth as pure gold. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take, and I shall come forth as gold. We don't want fool's gold, do we? We don't want artificial gold that turns green when we have our hands in the water too long. We want real gold. He says, I want that too. Let's partner and work together. And when we do, that difficult person that is so hard to love, that pushes our buttons and brings out our frustration, our rage. Now, for the sake of illustration here, I've made it a husband that's grouchy and difficult and hard to get along with. You know, this husband looking here, she's just pretty gross. And if I look at him as if he were Jesus, Matthew 25:40 says, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. So, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, whether it's an in-law, whether it's a neighbor or employer, you see them as Jesus, because they've been created in Jesus' image. There's gold down in them because they have his image planted in them. Now, it may not have been ignited, and he may be wanting to use your hands, your patient voice, his love flowing through you to them to melt the hardness of the heart, the stony heart, to taste of him so that they will want to go to him for themselves. So as you consider that person literally Jesus, it's like this picture shows. It's like you're washing Jesus' feet with your tears and drying them with your hair as you minister to that person as if it were Jesus. Earlier in those verses, they're before Jesus. And they're wanting that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And there were some there that said, I cast out demons and I did this and I did that. And he said, but I didn't know you. And then the others said, when did I see you hungry, Jesus? When did I see you thirsty? I didn't know that I did that to you. He said, when you did it to that difficult person that you had a hard time loving, you were doing to me. You were letting them taste of me through you. And you were feeding the me in them that needed to be brought forth, their potential, and to strengthen them. So Hebrews 4:11 says, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter into that rest of God, that rest where his flow is flowing through us. We're doing it through His strength. We're not just trying to change that person so that it'll be more comfortable for us. We're digging out gold. We're digging out their full potential. And we have to do it in His rest. Hebrews 4 and 3 saying, I had a rest for the Israelites. You remember a few months ago? They didn't want to hear His voice, did they? Moses, you tell us what He said. But God said, I want you to hear my voice. I want to converse with you as a way of life. I want to be your companion. And if you will hear my voice and you will enter the rest that the Israelites didn't, they never got it. They went around and around and around the mountain. He said, I want you to enter in. Enter into my rest and the promised land that I have for you. It's not by and by, it's right now. Your promised land. And so He says, stay in that rest to exercise and experience it for yourself, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disbelief into which those in the wilderness fall. So if you say, well, He's there for some but not me, you're falling into the unbelief that the Israelites did. Repent. Amen. And turn back to Him and say, I agree with you. Amen. You can do it for me too.
Yes.
Because Amen. You had me in mind. So I will stay in the kingdom of light. And when someone tries to pull me out, I say, no way, Jose. Not going. Not going. Staying in the place of safe place of transformation. Because whether I feel like it or not, when I'm walking in His presence as best I know how, I'm being transformed.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good news? That is good news. So, therefore, we wait in His hand. And we put that other person that irritates us in His hand. And we say, God, I place myself in Your hand. I place that person in Your hand. Because Your hand is that right hand of righteousness. When I stay in that place of rest, flowing with You, You change things. First in me and those around me. And so that's my part and my assignment to stay there. And when I do, waiting, refusing to let anybody bring me out of His presence. I wait. I wait. And if I'm all irritated and upset, whoa, pull back. Pull back.
Amen.
I wait in Your presence until the turmoil in my soul settles down.
Yes.
I wait. Quieten me, Lord. Quieten me. Quieten me. Thank You that I have nothing to fear. You're there for me. And then I'm going to watch and see how You want to work. And it's almost always different than I expect. But watch, because you remember you're called to be a companion and to participate. So don't participate in the way you think He ought to handle it, but the way He's handling it. So you wait there in that place of rest, and then you watch and embrace the invitation to participate or to watch and let somebody else do it, whatever. And then you work unified. What does that mean? Your spirit is in touch with His spirit, and you're letting the river of living water flow from the throne room, giving you your portion in your spirit to strengthen you. You say, soul, submit. Soul, we're not going to live the way you learned to live before I was letting the Spirit reign in me. Soul, submit. Embrace His will, not yours. Embrace His mind, not yours. Embrace His emotions, not yours, and let Him bring healing and restoration. So soul, submit to the Spirit. Now body, you line up. You line up and you cooperate by manifesting what's throwing through the spirit, the soul, and out the body. And there will be healing released to spirit, soul, and body. Let's let Him bring forth the gold. Amen. Let me close this in prayer. Father God, I thank You that You have gold for us. You have a golden kingdom for us to bring about in the sphere in which we live. So I speak to each person's spirit and say, God's got His hand on you. He's glad to be with you, and he's excited about what he wants you to release, because it's better than anybody else can release for the assignment you have. You and you alone can release a segment of my character that nobody else can. So I strengthen you today in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You got the goods. Look full into his face and receive his download. Now say to your spirit, line up. You've done a good job surviving when the spirit wasn't leading, but now the spirit is leading, and so you submit. You submit to the spirit and simply be a interpreter of the things from the heavenly realm, and interpret them properly now to this realm. And I say to your body, be healed. By his stripes you'll be healed. As you are realigned and resynchronized, we say peace, peace, hope, and strength to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anyone that needs prayer, come over here, and the leaders will be here to pray for you. And any comments? Anybody have anything that you'd like to share before we leave? Gary?
Yeah, I'll share something with you. That was really cool.
Well, everybody wants to hear you.
Well, everybody's got something to share. I mean, you said
we got time.
Yeah, well, okay, but I remember when Cammy was a little bitty baby, and I was in the kitchen. I was in the kitchen. She was in her bed. She was in her crib. My daughter, yeah, and she was in her crib. And so anyway, what happened is she started crying. She started crying. And so I wanted to get to her before she woke up Marty. So I jumped up out of the chair and bam, she ran over to her, grabbed her, rah, rah, rah. You know, held her up. She stopped crying. And so I comforted her, put her back in her crib. Well, when I sat back down, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, did you see how fast you jumped up and ran to her? And I said, yeah. And he says, I don't get that far away from you to have to run to you.
That's good stuff. That'll preach.
That's Holy Ghost. I mean, he's inside of us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. All he wants us to do is to turn to him and let him be a part of the situation, not handle it on our own.
Just ask.
Amen.
He's right here.
Anybody else? Comment? Okay, would you put some music on for us? And those of you that have been fed and got what God wanted you to have, we bless you as you go about digging gold this week. Those of you that need prayer, the leaders will be up here to pray for you.